And you're listening to The Takeaway. I'm Duarte Geraldino, in for Tanzina Vega. Now, President Trump and his public health team are now telling us to avoid groups of 10 people or more. Now, this is a safety measure that could be hard at polling stations. Illinois, Arizona, and Florida are still holding primaries today. And this is despite the growing list of countrywide closures and shutdowns designed to contain the spread of the virus. Ohio Governor Mike DeWine officially postponed today's primary in that state with backing from the state Supreme Court. Louisiana, Georgia, and Kentucky recently postponed their primaries until this summer. Other states are encouraging voters to mail in their ballots. So how are states handling voting in the middle of this health crisis? Well, David Smiley is a political reporter for the Miami Herald, and he's here to walk us through the primaries in Florida. Hi, David.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So why did Florida decide not to postpone today's primary?
Well, Florida's Republican governor said that postponing the primary would send a signal of panic. He said that yesterday during a press conference after DeWine in Ohio said he wanted to push back their in-person voting. Florida also has weeks of early voting and vote by mail, and we've already seen more than 2 million people vote in the primary. So it is true that lines at polling places today will be the exception and not the norm. And it's also true that Republicans in Florida who control the state government have really been resistant to bend much at all on extending voting deadlines. And we're seeing some pressure now from liberal-leaning groups trying to get the state to extend its deadline to accept mail ballots. And that's a political struggle, I think, that's playing out in the background. So I think all of that was led to a pretty obvious decision coming by the governor to just push ahead with the vote today.
Now, Florida has a fairly higher than average percentage of senior citizens, and they are more vulnerable to the virus. What is the state doing to accommodate them today?
Well, the state's elections are run by 67 county-level election supervisors. So each of these officials is really handling their own elections with guidance from the state. But generally, what we're hearing is that poll workers are being given extra rubber gloves. There is Purell up the wazoo at all of these polling places, and they have extra hand washing materials, and people are spacing out if there is lines at the polling places so that they're 6 feet away from each other. Generally, just sort of mitigation steps to try to ensure that people aren't increasing the risk of infecting each other if somebody is in fact sick.
So, David, this is the first election since Florida restored voting rights to former felons. Do we know how all of this could impact that population and their ability to vote?
That's hard to say right now. That issue is still playing out in the courts. And, the state and the election supervisors haven't been really quick to clear up the issue. So, but I think we won't really know if that plays much of a role at all in the turnout today. And my guess is likely it won't.
David Smiley is a political reporter for the Miami Herald. Thanks, David.
Thanks for having me.
So now we turn to Illinois. We're joined by Dave McKinney. He's a political reporter for WBEZ Chicago. Thanks for joining us, Dave.
Thanks much.
So why did the state decide to not postpone the Illinois primary?
Well, I mean, I heard your previous guest, and I think the dynamics in play here in Illinois are very similar to Florida, where there was a feeling that if the election got postponed, when would the state of Illinois do it? Because things are so uncertain and open-ended here, the governor just really consistently all week has said, look, we have to do this. And you know, it's been an evolving thing, but they really are stuck. The governor's office is really stuck between two terrible choices because they recognize, on one hand, there's this necessity to get this vote done. And then on the other hand is the fact that, you know, the advice keeps changing from the CDC about what's safe and what's not safe. And here in Illinois, I mean, I paid a visit just now to my home precinct, and it's awfully, awfully quiet.
So it's incredibly cut. I mean, there's a lot of complicating factors. We understand also that polling stations are being changed and closed in Illinois. What is the state doing to inform people that this is happening?
Well, I mean, you know, the governor and the mayor of Chicago have been doing regular briefings, as we've seen President Trump and Vice President Pence doing. But, you know, it's a consistent thing where every day people are at least, you know, accessing this way. You know, I know this morning the Illinois Republican Party sent out an advisory encouraging Republicans in Illinois to vote, and they also distributed CDC filings. So, I mean, there is an effort underway, I think, as best as possible to tell people that the election is happening and to go ahead and vote. And I think, you know, it's natural that if people are tuned in, there might be some confusion given the, you know, how this pandemic just keeps growing and growing in the state of Ohio and what they're doing. But, you know, it just seems like we're going to have it happen here. And I don't think anybody quite knows what to expect by the end of the day.
So what about the poll workers and the judges? Do we expect there to be a shortage of people who are actually working the polling locations because of fears of the virus?
I actually think that has you know, it's been a longstanding worry since the you know, the gravity of this situation started becoming clear. But, you know, I know, as I mentioned before, when I went to my precinct here just a moment ago, a block from my house here in Chicago, you know, there were three judges there, and they said that they were shorthanded. But I think in a way they're fortunate to have that many judges, because, you know, we've gotten reports that, you know, northwest of Chicago here, there's one suburb, kind of an affluent place, that they don't have any judges that showed up. And as a result, the poll the polling place didn't open. I don't know if that's an isolated example or if it's going to be more widespread today. But certainly we've seen the shortage of judges. We also have seen polling places themselves have to be moved. There were about 200 of them that, you know, the city election board here had to scramble to replace, because, you know, many of these things are in senior housing complexes or apartment buildings or places where there might be sensitive populations. And so, you know, as the week went on here, more and more of these places said, hey, we don't want to do this. And so they've been scrambling just nonstop to fill that void.
There's generally a surge in campaign rallies leading up to the primary. Did that change?
You know what? I think your question kind of broke up on me. I mean, but again, I think you're asking, what was the nature of campaigning here?
Correct.
I mean, it was all done virtually. I mean, the last big campaign rally here was one Bernie Sanders did about a week and a half ago. But since then, everything has been over Facebook or you know, some kind of version online. And, you know, the phone banking and the texting, those, of course, are ramping up. And the power of the television commercial, I think it's as powerful, more so probably than ever. So this is a different campaign where you know, there's no handshaking, no parades, no rallies. It's all built around not having human contact.
Dave McKinney is a political reporter for WBEZ Chicago. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much.